Great day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the WestJet Safety Hour conference call. My name is Christine, and I will be your operator for today. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If at any time you require operator assistance, please key star zero, and we will be happy to assist you. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host for today, Lindsay Melbourne. Please proceed.
Okay, thank you. Hi, everybody. It's Lindsay here from the WestJet Safety team. I'm here today with Jess from Southwest Trains and Andy Jackson from BGT. Together we make up the Alliance Route Crime Team. We're here today to talk to you about preventing suicides on the railway. Across the railway network, in the month of April, we experience a higher number of suicide events than any other month during the year. So to help raise awareness of suicide prevention and mental health, the safety team are running a week-long campaign this week. Jess is here to give you an overview on the alert and our current campaign. I will talk to you more about the learning tool in detail, and Andy is here to talk to you about a recent intervention that has been made by one of our drivers. A little bit about who we are. So I'm Lindsay, Community Safety Manager at Wessex. It's my role to work with our local communities to promote safety on and around the railway. That includes running level crossing campaigns, managing our schools programs, and running community events. I'm always looking for volunteers to come into schools with me. If there's something you'd like to do, please drop me a line or ask me a question at the end of the call. And I'm going to hand you over to Jess to tell you a little bit more about her role.
Yeah, hi, everyone. I am Jess Duckett. I am the Security and Route Crime Project Manager for Southwest Trains. As part of my role, I look after suicide prevention and trespass for both Southwest Trains and the Wessex Network. So I look at the initiatives we can do to reduce both of these on the network.
Hi, everybody. I'm Andy Jackson. I'm a BTP officer, currently seconded to the Wessex Route as the embedded inspector, looking at police-related disruption on the network, and again, as mentioned, working in alliance with the various bodies within the organisation to either prevent or deal with disruptive incidents.
So Jess is going to give you a bit more of an overview now on where we stand for Suicide for the Year and some of the campaigns that she's involved in.
Okay. So what I thought I'd start with is give you sort of an overview of the facts and figures for fatalities on our network. So we've had two fatalities so far for 2017-18, which is one less than we had last year. We've also had around 15 people who have been on and removed from the network who are suicidal, and there were six people who've made threats of suicide, but when searched, we could not find them on the railway. They're normally found at a safe location, home address, or elsewhere. I'd also thought I'd give you a bit of an overview of where we finished for 2016-17. We experienced 27 fatalities on our network last year, which is two fewer than the year before, a 7% decrease. 22 of these involved males, and the average age is 45, which both match the national trends that we see in suicide. 9 incidents occurred at our priority locations, and 14 took place at our stations. It basically equates to one fatality every 14 days on our network. We also had 9 attempted suicides last year, and we had 238 incidents of suicidal persons on the network and 93 threats of suicide. Nationally, I have the figures up to the end of period 12. Period 13 hasn't quite been released yet. So we had 218 suicides or suspected suicides on the network, which was 10% fewer than the year before. So we are seeing a slow declining trend in the number of suicides we experience. However, we still do have too high a number on our network, so I'll just run through a few bits of what we are doing currently on the Wessex Route. So the first one is to do with physical mitigations. We have a number of mitigations already in place across our network, however, most are targeting our priority locations. These were last looked at in 2013, so I've recently undertaken sort of site visits to look to see what we already have in place and where our gaps are. So I'm now developing physical mitigation proposals to fill these gaps, whether it's end gates, signage, or anything else we can do, targeting fatality mitigation as well as trespass, because both are sort of interlinked across the route. One of our key tools of suicide prevention is also our training, because making a life-saving intervention is one of our key aspects of suicide prevention. We run the Managing Suicide of Contacts course throughout the year. This is run by the Samaritans. It's a one-day course, and basically the Samaritans give you tips and guidance on how to help those who are vulnerable at our stations, how to identify them, and what we can do to help. I currently have two courses booked in for the year, which is on 2nd of June and 14th of September. These are spaces. If you would like to attend one of these, please drop me an email and I can book you onto these. We also have the learning tools, which Lindsay is going to run through in more detail in a minute. But this is another aspect of our training that can help everyone learn a bit more about how to make an intervention. It's not just on the railway, though, that experience suicide. It is a wider social issue. So as part of, I am currently working with our external stakeholders within local authorities to look for opportunities for joint working. I currently liaise and work with seven different areas, which are Hampshire, Surrey, Kingston, Merton, Richmond, Wandsworth and Portsmouth. These are all at varying levels, from sitting on their suicide prevention groups to being part of their crisis care concordat, to actually just meeting to discuss what we're seeing on the route. Here I sort of discuss what the trends we've seen, what we can do to work together, and sort of what the future could look like for us. Another key aspect of it is working with Samaritans. Here we have a close working partnership on the Wessex route. They offer a number of different activities, one of which is post-incident support. So if we have a fatality, they try and get the Samaritans to our different locations to support both staff and commuters. These are also always very positively received and do help. We also, though, are now looking to do more community outreach. We're promoting their services, but not just visiting a location to do with the suicide. This is raising awareness for everyone on that they are here to help. We also find their posters and signs across our network. These vary in where they're targeted. Our signs are not meant to be at every location. They target our priority locations or those that we see a number of emerging trends. Basically, as Lindsay's already said, this April alert was developed out of research, but April is the highest month nationally for suicide on the railway network. So it's basically to raise awareness of what we can all do to help reduce suicides on the network. An intervention is a key aspect of this, and it can be as simple as asking someone if you are okay. There are a number of tips and guidance on how to go up and make this intervention and what you can do to help. These are found on the briefing alert that has been released. I found on the learning tool, as well as the Managing Suicidal Contacts course. So if you do have any questions about those, please feel free to contact me following this briefing. I'll now hand over to Lindsay, who will talk more about the learning tool.
Okay, thank you, Jess. As Jess mentioned, we've got some training courses out there. Our staff are our biggest resource that we've got in preventing suicide from the railway, and we have a number of ways you can give yourself the guidance to approach somebody. So the learning tool is one of those tools. I'm going to go through the briefing in a bit more detail now. The Suicide Prevention and Support on the Railway Learning Tool aims to empower rail personnel with the knowledge and understanding required to prevent a suicide, to respond to a railway fatality, and to support colleagues who may be suffering from trauma following an incident. The learning tool can be accessed by visiting www.nspglearningtool.co.uk, and this has all been sent out and can be found on the Wessex Safety blog. You need to register with your work email address. It takes less than a minute to do so, and then you'll have full access to the learning tool and a guidance document. The learning tool consists of a series of short films. These can be viewed individually or can be shown as part of a team meeting, induction or workshop. When viewed in its entirety, the learning tool lasts just under an hour. However, the modules can be viewed individually and they are split into two main sections, one for prevention and one for support. The learning tool complements the one-day Managing Suicide Contacts course and can be shown as a precursor to the course or as a refresher for someone who has already attended. As Jess mentioned, she has two suicide prevention courses running, one on the 2nd of June and one on the 14th of September. So the tool is designed to improve understanding of key issues and features practical guidance and inspiring accounts from rail staff and BTP officers to demonstrate how we can all play a part in preventing a railway suicide and helps to reduce the effects of the trauma of those that may be affected by them. And we've got two lunchtime learning sessions tomorrow at Basingstoke, which Jess and Helen, who's our Samaritans lead for Wessex, will be running. Can you give me an email or drop Jess an email to book onto those courses or just turn up? Just be aware that the rooms will only hold about 20 per session. There's one at midday and there's one at 1 p.m. and they're in training room 01. We're not just only running these in Basingstoke. If you want us to come to your team meeting, to your depot, to come and provide a briefing, then please just drop us an email. We're more than happy to do so. There is a note here that viewers are advised that suicide prevention and suicide support on the railway learning tour contains discussions about suicidal incidents and events on the railway. It does not contain any footage of any suicide-related incidents, for example, CCTV footage, but it is an emotive issue. And if you have any concerns about watching films, just let me or Jess know. The details will be provided after the call and can be found on the Wessex Learning blog. But if you've been affected by any of the issues or anything that you see in the film, then please contact us, your line manager, OpHealth, or a support organisation like Samaritans. Samaritans can be contacted on 116123, that's a new number. Great, but if you want any more information or would like me or Jess to come in and give you a briefing on learning, so then please feel free to drop us a line. We're more than happy to come in and do that. I'm going to hand you over to Andy Jackson now, who will give you more of BTP's perspective and talk to you about a recent intervention.
Thank you, Lindsay. So the question may be asked, why the BTP involvement in this? And people may think that our role is to catch people and bring prosecutions, etc. It should be remembered that the first and overriding principle of policing is the preservation of life and ensuring the safety of members of public, in this case those who may be in the railway environment. The police is a limited resource, however, so on many occasions it's been acknowledged that staff on the stations and train drivers can provide a valuable source of intelligence and additional resourcing for assisting police activity, potentially the eyes and ears on the ground. And that's not necessarily dealing with a physical intervention, but potentially providing valuable intelligence. So we're talking about dealing with people who may be pre-suicidal. Even if you don't make an intervention, you can still provide intelligence to police, and I've encouraged people to do so where they've noticed any suspicious or unusual behaviour at stations. It should be remembered as well, because there's more staff than there are police, that quite often staff will be the first point of contact for anybody who is vulnerable in a railway environment. And that really emphasises the important role that you can play in making effective interventions. And I know that I've given an example of this. We had a very recent incident where a vulnerable person was reported to be trackside location. The driver was informed of this and the train was going through at caution. And the driver spotted the female trackside in the cess. The female became aware of the fact that police were at the station and could see them. And quite often when people who are vulnerable see a person of authority, somebody in uniform, that can increase their anxiety. The driver in this case, and I've checked and he had done the MSC course, was able to reassure that person. I think that's a really important element to remember here, that the role here is to keep the person calm, reassure them that they're not in trouble, and get them to a place of safety where they can receive the appropriate assistance. In this case, the driver spoke to the person from the cab and then went down out of the cab to secure the person as they were moving towards the live rails. And at the time, there was no isolation of current to the rails, so the person was in real danger. The driver then, whilst talking to the person, reassuring them, managed to get them to walk back to the platform where they were taken by the police to a place of safety to receive the appropriate assistance. So a real good example there of how a person can make that intervention and ensure that that person gets the treatment they need. And again, reinforcing the importance there of the managing suicidal contacts or the learning tool as a means of giving you the confidence to make those interventions for people that you see as vulnerable. So I'd encourage everybody on the call, if you can, to get that training and go on to make those interventions. That's all from me, Lindsay.
Just before we asked for question and answers, you mentioned about if you've been involved in an intervention, how would you then report? What's the process to report that intervention so it's recorded?
I would say that at the time of the intervention, a call into the control room, your control room, so the WIC down at Basingstoke, will ensure that that is logged. Equally, information around people that you've not necessarily intervened with, but have witnessed at the station exhibiting unusual behaviour or remaining at stations for long periods of time, call it into the control room, and that will get passed across to BTP. If an emergency units will attend, or if it's historical and the person has then subsequently left, that will be passed on as intelligence. Just one thing that I had forgotten is the caveat around making interventions, that this should be done with your safety being the overriding factor. Quite obviously, people who are vulnerable have the potential to act unpredictably, and you must only make interventions when you have reassured yourself that you are not putting yourself in a place of danger. So please make the interventions, but don't do so at the risk of your own personal safety.
Thank you, Andy. That was all that we had to go through today. The point of the call was to get all the information about the training that is available to you out there, and that we're happy to come and brief staff as and when or required. I'm happy to hand back now for quote Q&A.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you would like to ask an audio question, please key star 1 on your keypad. You must immediately record your name, followed by the pound key. Please be sure to record your name to ensure your question is registered. And your first question comes from the line of?
Vasindi.
Please proceed.
Oh, hi, it's Vasindi here from the Business Change team. I'm sorry, I pressed that earlier because I couldn't hear Lindsay properly, and I know a few other people couldn't. But since I am on the line now, I was just wondering if what the plan is, if there is anything to keep the momentum going on the raising awareness of suicide prevention, because I know this is the National Suicide Awareness Week, so we're doing a lot of work in this week, but is it a plan that we could include this as a part of people's induction, so this is becoming round the year kind of exercise rather than just something that
Yeah, so I can answer. So it's that training sort of people keeping everyone going. So throughout the year, I periodically send out briefs at key moments in the year, promoting the training courses. We already have had 3 managing suicidal contacts courses that are fully booked for the year. So as soon as we have them that are full, I book more in and promote it as widely as I can. All new station staff now at Southwest Change have that as part of their induction. It's compulsory. And then it's continuously promoting out to all key managers and everyone across both Southwest Change and Network Wessex to promote the courses that we have coming up, whether it's targeting key dates or key months such as April.
Okay, thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. Once again, as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask an audio question, please key star 1 on your keypad, record your name followed by the pound key. Questions will be taken in the order in which received. And there are no questions at this time. Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. Thank you so much for your participation. You may now disconnect and have a great day.